I was struggling between the morning service, the messages, you know. But because of the lesson this morning, it made the lesson a little easier. You know, if you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Jonah. Jonah. Now, I wished I could say that Jonah is a happy ending. And if you'll notice, it is for the Ninevites, but it's not for the preacher. And so I want us to be able to take a little note here. So I was going to speak about debating between brokenness and another topic this morning and that we're going to speak about. And I spoke about it about 6 months ago, but I said, you know, this is the season. I'll just adjust it around a little bit and take a different verse. And so it's a little different angle this morning on the same subject. But I didn't want to have two sermons on that would cause you to look at it and say, wow, this morning was a downer. I want to make sure it's an upper this morning. So if you would, yet we can learn so much. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to Jonah chapter 1. And I know this is Christmas, but maybe we can learn something here heading into the Christmas season, the Thanksgiving season, that would help us enjoy Christmas more. Okay? Notice if you would, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying... Now pause right there. When the Lord speaks to our hearts, we have the same choice Jonah had. Now, there may be time when the Lord speaks to your heart about witnessing to someone. And, you know, well, for instance, let me give you just a little example. We got this gentleman to come over, and he came over for lunch, and we shared our turkey and everything with him. And like I said, he's unsaved. He brought us a big bottle of wine, and we said, well, we don't drink. And he looked at us, he says, well, I don't care. I want you to keep it. I want you to have it. Give it to somebody else. Well, you can take it back. Realize we're going to cause an offense. So I said, okay, thank you very much for your graciousness and your kindness. We'll take it. And so yet you're trying to do the right thing and set, and yet, you know, there's some things that come up. Maybe you invite somebody over and they tell a dirty joke at your house, or they say something off color. We have to learn that things like that, when you reach out into the world, things could get a little ugly sometimes. We just have to keep going forward and doing what's right. When the Lord challenges us, Dave Pittman, I want you to be a testimony here. I want you to be a testimony there. I want you to share the gospel with somebody. So this weekend, Janet and I went to a couple different places, and I got to pass out tracts. And as I'm there, someone comes to me, wow, you know, that's really, thank you. I appreciate it. So you don't always get someone that's appreciative for trying to share the gospel with them. And yet, we have to learn that God speaks to all of us, and we're to do what God says. Now, you'll notice Jonah, now the word of the Lord, verse 1, came unto Jonah as the word comes to us. And the question is, what do we do about it? Now, Jonah compromised. Okay, let me ask you a question. Tell me your answer. Did Jonah obey the Lord? Wait a minute. What did you just say? Now that don't count as an answer, does it? Hey, honey, do you want ham or turkey for Christmas? Yes or no? Do you want you want to go to the store with me today? Yes or no? I mean, what kind of an answer is that? But what I'm trying to say to you is, we can't do that to the Lord. So you and I have to learn a lesson from Jonah. We can be just like him. He was a man of God. He was a preacher of the gospel. He was known as a preacher. He's even mentioned in other places in Scripture. Yet, there was something in his heart. And this is what I wanted to speak to you about this morning. Can anybody tell me what was in his heart that caused all of his troubles? Can anybody tell me what was in his heart that caused all of his troubles? Pardon? What'd you say? Bitterness. What do you mean, Sandy? Okay, so what could we call that, maybe? Prejudice. Yeah, prejudice. Did you know Christians are to forget all prejudice? prejudice. And at Christmas time, let's lay aside all of our prejudices. I, being from Texas, had a prejudice against all people from the North. When I say prejudice, not a bad one, but I remember when we went to Chicago and a family invited us over for lunch. And we went to their house and we sat down and they had a bowl of beans about that big and another deal like about this big. And I thought the bowl was for me. It was that small. And I started reaching over for the bowl and my wife could figure it out and she hit me on the leg. And I said, "What?" And she said, "All of us." Oh. I realized they don't eat like we in Texas do. You know what I mean? You get big bowls of this and big bowls of that. And if you eat it, you may eat it on it for 2 or 3 days. But they just didn't do that. And there wasn't the same joyfulness. There wasn't the same warmth. I mean, we went through areas where you, let's say there was a place where you went, someplace you got your groceries, maybe a grocery store here or there. Well, you know, people didn't, they didn't stop and let you go down the aisle if you were there first. They just pushed right on through. I just noticed, wow. I remember when Jeremy was a young boy, we were standing in the line of an ice cream place called Brahms, and Susan started talking to the guy in front, and Dad and Jeremy pulled him up and said, "What's Mom doing talking to the guy? We don't know him." I said, "Well, this is Texas. Everybody's friendly. But that's another man." I said, "It's all right, son." "Really?" I said, "Yeah, being warm to somebody." He didn't see that. You know, Chicago and different places. You know, people are just, I guess it's the cold weather. You're inside a lot. But you go to the South and everybody loves you, hug everybody. You know, there's just a difference. And so, you know, in my heart, I said, "Jeremy, you cannot date or marry a Yankee. You cannot date and marry anybody from the North." Now, obviously, there are very godly ladies from the North. Christina, Scott's wife, is from Minnesota. That's about as far north as you're going to get. Sweet lady. You see, Jesus Christ changes everything. We all have tendencies. And so there are tribes that don't like each other in Africa. I remember we went to a missions trip in Africa and Tammy Aran was our missionary there. How many of you remember Tammy Aran? She's the secretary to one of the large mission boards in the area and in the United States. And so still involved in missions, but she had gotten something that really put her down. And she never really got over it. And so she had to come home, but she wanted to be involved in missions. And so we went out to this place. She said, "Pastor, I want to get you all shirts." And I said, "Okay." And they'll custom make them. I said, "How much is that?" "Well, that's about $10. And, you know, so went in and got a custom shirt. And I picked out a material. I said, "Well, I like that one." Now, I wear that shirt from time to time for missions conferences. Well, I had that shirt on. And she said, "Now, when you wear that shirt, just remember, that's a tribe in this part of Africa. And some people don't like that tribe and some people do like that tribe." I said, "Really?" So I remember wearing that shirt in America and somebody came up to me and said, "Oh, you know that, you know my tribe?" I was glad it was that one and not the other one that, you know, started shooting arrows at me. Why is that? Because of a prejudice, because of something that's a preconceived idea. Now, the Lord Jesus tells all of us in this room that know Christ as Savior, you love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you. Whoa. Now, you know what? There are certain things that are a little easier to do. Well, maybe, how many of you, what was the easiest thing when you became a Christian? What was one of the easiest things that you did that the Lord changed your life? In other words, it was an easy transition. You knew you did it before, it wasn't right. Maybe it's a foul language or maybe it's a covetousness or whatever. But how many of you know what I'm saying? There were some things that the Holy Spirit began to convict your heart and that was pretty easy to do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. But then there are some that, man, you struggle with. You know, some people it's tithing. Now, I was telling the new converts in the new converts class, there's six or eight of them in there, and I said, you know, I never had a trouble with tithing, never. Somebody tell me why. Why did I never have trouble with tithing? Pardon me? It's a command. That's a command. But there was one other reason also, aside from the account. When I saw that, I had to make a Jonah choice. Do I do it or do I not do it? Or I do part of it. Well, I know tithing is 10%. I'll just give him what I got left over. Now, if that's 5% or 8%, I'm not going to worry about it. I'll just give something to him. Now, that's not tithing. That's not true obedience, but that is giving. So how is it that I had no trouble tithing? Because as a little boy, I'd get, my parents would give me a dollar for picking up my room or for mowing the grass or for picking up the garage, and I'd get a dollar, and I said, well, I got a dollar. Let's go, now 10 cents. And they'd give me, they said, let me have your dollar back, and they'd give me 10 dimes. Now, one of these is the Lord's. Oh, so I got used to it. That one was not difficult. It was not difficult for me to not curse because I never heard a curse word in my whole family growing up. My dad was a plumber. He never cursed, never told dirty jokes. So that part was easy. I knew that wasn't right. But boy, I tell you what, when it came time to certain other things, you play ball. When you play ball, what do you want to be? The best one out there. So you learn, well, I want to be the best out there. So you begin to strive, and competition is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. And so I wanted to beat the next guy. I wanted to be that guy. I began to look at it. And, you know, you see these football players that they've grown up their whole lives being told how good they are to humble themselves. Oh, now that's tough. So all of us have certain things. Well, Jonah grew up hating the Ninevites. Because remember, the Israelites living in the land of Israel, Cana, they would have marauders come down, and these Ninevites were butchers. They would come down, they would find an outlying village, and they would take the village, they would slay the wives and the women expecting children, and they would kill everybody and take the older teenagers back and make them slaves. I mean, they were just awful. So everybody hated the Ninevites. How many of you remember when you didn't like the Russians? How many remember that? Remember that? Okay. How many remember we didn't like the Cubans? Remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, Castro? And so we get those prejudices in our hearts. Well, I want to encourage you this morning to give up any of those prejudices that are in our heart. You have to look for them. Search me, oh God. Now, the Lord needed Jonah, and the Lord needs us. So notice what he says. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, verse 1. Verse 2, arise and go to Nineveh. At that point, how many have ever been listening to somebody and they say something and you just click them off? You just click them off. Well, he just clicked the Lord off. Now, in his heart, not in his head, keep watching. And that great city. And I think Jonah's saying, Lord, that's not a great city. They're butchers. They're mean to us, your people. Lord, and then he says, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And I'm thinking right now, he's saying, well, why, you want me to go cry unto them? You want me to go try to get them to turn their hearts back to you? I want you to zap them from heaven. Well, notice verse 3. Now, he knew there was no way that he was going to be able to convince God to change his mind. Why? Does anybody know why? Look over in chapter 4. Look in verse 2. So rather than trying to change God's mind, he ran. Now, a lot of us do that. Look, if you would, in chapter 4, verse number 1. Verse number 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now, understand, he said, I know your heart, Lord, and you're not going to change your mind. You want to see the Ninevites saved. I don't. So we have to be careful. Lord, you know, I know you want me to witness to my neighbor, but he's been so mean to me for 10 years. I don't want to witness to him. Or that guy at work, he stopped me from a promotion 3 times. I don't want to even talk to him. The Lord said, I love them. I love him. I love the Ninevites. And Jonah in his heart says, I know you're a gracious God. When he says, I know you're a merciful and gracious God, what was he trying to say? I know you're willing to forgive them. And I don't want them forgiven. So now notice, if you would, back over to Jonah chapter 1. He said verse 3. So he's got a choice to make right here. Lord, could you change my heart, Lord? Not a word of that. Lord, could you help me be more forgiving? Lord, I know that I don't like them. If I mention a name of anybody on earth to you, would the hair on the back of your head raise up and say, I don't like them? Well, you may have to come and say, Lord, change my heart. Now, understand, Jonah had a very good reason. I'm sure he knew people that had lost family members in these Ninevite raids. And so he didn't want them to be saved. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, this is a terrible choice. The Ninevites and asking for God's power to help them be saved, or giving up the sweetness of our walk with the Lord. I choose to give up the sweetness of the Lord. And folks, all of us can make that choice, but that never ends well. There's no one on earth, everybody in this room, when a name is mentioned, there are football teams in Dallas area when you're growing up. You mention that, and we don't like them. It's called a rivalry game. Now, that's okay because you're not trying to kill them, but you just want to beat them every time, okay? But to get up off the ground when you just got knocked down and have that guy that knocked you down raise his hand down and say, let me help you out. Good run. A good block when you're on your back. You don't touch me. That attitude hits all of us. Somebody said something to you at work and it stuck. There's now a prejudice against them. There's now a animosity toward them. Now there's now a hurt toward them. And folks, we have a choice to make. We can give up the sweetness of the presence of the Lord, or we can forgive them. That's our choice. Now, I want you to follow along with me in verse number 3. He says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, he knew better. Tell me, where can you go from the presence of the Lord? Somebody tell me. Nowhere. Can anybody give me a passage of scripture that would define that? That's correct. Proverbs, but I want you to take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Psalm 139. And I want you to see this. Psalm 139. Now follow along with me. And keep in mind, if you would, take note. Psalm 139. I want you to see this. If I can get over there. Psalm 139. Look with me, if you would. In verse number 7. Now, keep in mind, this psalm was written and he had access to it. I'm sure he had read this before. The psalm's written sometime around 1000 BC, 800 BC, 900 BC. And, and, And Jonah's written somewhere around 800, 850. So notice, if you would, what he says in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? This is Psalm 139, 7. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Exactly what he said. I'm going to get up and run from the presence of the Lord. And so the psalmist says, where can I go to get away from the presence of the Lord? And look at the extremes he uses. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. He first takes the two spiritual places, physical places, but yet spiritual, heaven and hell. And then he takes two physical places alone. And you'll notice he says, the wings of the morning and the uttermost part of the sea. You know, when the sun is rising and you go to the uttermost part of the sea. How many of you noticed the other day, or last night, I believe it was, the beauty of the moon? It was like a quarter moon, but it sort of a fog out. How many saw that? And it looked like the moon was glowing almost. Wow, you look at that. If you can go past that, which we can't. Notice what he says. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. So here's a preacher that ignored scripture. He said, I don't care. I just can't live with it. Now, I don't think that he looked at the Ninevites and chose them over the Lord. I just think his hurt was so deep that he couldn't imagine them getting off the hook and being forgiven. And folks, all of us have people like that from time to time. Can anybody remember one of the guys, somebody like that, you know, when you were a teenager? Can you remember that? Can you remember anybody like that? Maybe when you're in high school or when you started your job. But there are people like that all along the way that the old devil places there to do one thing, to get us to choose, I don't like him or the presence of the Lord. That's our choice. Now, if we run and say, I'm going to get away from the presence of the Lord, I'm going to get away from the convicting hand of the Lord. Remember, Saul tried to do that, and the Lord Jesus caught him and said in the middle of the noonday, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. The Lord always is touching hearts. Now, notice with me, if you would, look over, and keep in mind, verse 3, he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go unto them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was specifically running from the presence of the Lord, and I am certain, whither can I go? Where can I, my spirit, where can I flee? If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Well, he just had to ignore the scripture. And I'm pleading with you this morning, don't ignore the scripture. Remember, we serve a gracious God and we're to be like him. Mercy and grace. Now, notice with me, if you would, Jonah chapter 2. Now, follow with me. In verse number 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, that's the headline of the chapter. But if you'll notice, in verse number 2, he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Now, the headline is, it's saying what happened. Now he's praying and crying out to the Lord, and he explains why in chapter 2. But do you remember how long it took? Chapter 1, verse 17. Notice what it says. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now that's bitterness. Because I cannot imagine. He thought he went to hell. Look. In verse number 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Folks, I trust no one in this room is so prejudiced towards somebody, so bitter towards somebody, so hurt that you would rather spend 3 days in hell. Keep in mind, it's his words. 3 days, and finally out of the belly of hell, I cried out. He thought he was in hell for 3 days. What a hard man. What prejudice can do to a heart. What bitterness can do to a heart if we let it. So my pleading to you this Christmas season is don't let anything get to your heart so that you can't forgive it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4. Then said I am cast out of thy sight. Now, what was it? Why did he buy the ticket? Why did he buy the ticket to Tarshish? To get out of the presence of the Lord, to get out of his sight. So he thought he had accomplished his goal. And then for 3 days, he said, I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. And then finally, now notice what the Lord did. I don't know in what order, but let me just walk through it with you. Notice he says in verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. Okay? So I'm underwater. The floods have compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. So he's in the belly of this whale and he's struggling to breathe. He's gagging, choking on the water. This whale's going up and down for 3 days. I want you to know something. Well, if you've ever been swimming and you got a cramp or something and you went down in the water and you're trying to reach the side, it wouldn't take me 3 days to figure out and say, I'm not going to do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to change real quick. Well, notice what he says in verse number five. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. I was about ready to drown. And the depth closed around about me. I was claustrophobic. I was under great pressure. Can you imagine when a whale goes down deep, the pressure that's on them, that body, a big body, is kind of compressed a little bit. Anybody here ever got underneath a bed or something, you got stuck? As a plumber, I remember my uncle, there was a water leak underneath the house. And he said, I need you to go underneath and find that leak. Well, it was a piering beam. How many know what a piering beam is? Okay, it's got piers that go up, and there are beams that sit on those piers. So there's, depending upon how tall the piers are, they could be this tall, it could be this tall. And so I'm crawling underneath there, and there's spiders and spider webs, and there's all kinds of stuff around, and you just pray there's not a snake crawling around. And it's dark. You got a flashlight, and you're crawling, and all of a sudden you see the water glistening on the other side of the house. Oh, well, it must be over there. So you start crawling, and then there is a HVAC line, a duct, and you can't get by it. So you have to... You can't move the house, so you take your screwdriver or you take your pliers and you dig underneath that HVAC, hold your breath, and you go underneath it to get to the other side. Woo! Said, they don't pay enough for this. So I get all the way over there because I wasn't going to go back to my uncle and say, I can't make it. So I get over to the other side, and the water's about this deep, and I'm kind of moving around, and you know, you finally find it, and I just picture in my mind, as you're going underneath that duct, you're holding your breath, you're trying to get out, you get all the water back best you can, and you get out and you're covered in mud. Well, notice what he says here, the depth closed around about me. As you get underneath the duct and you kind of get stuck a little bit, you're trying to pull yourself out. I can just picture, and the thought hit me, what happens if I can't get out? I surely somebody would come find me. But I'm hung here for a while. And keep in mind, he endured that for 3 days. Can you imagine that much bitterness in somebody's heart? But how many have heard of somebody being bitter for years? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Okay. 3 days or years? But for years, the presence of the Lord, he stepped back. If they're a Christian. Don't let that happen to anybody in this room. Now keep following with me. The depths closed around about me, claustrophobic, about ready to drown. The weeds were wrapped around my head. You know, kelp. They love kelp. And you go down there and you get kelp. That's the reason the other day, Janet fixed me some soup with kale in it. Kelp, stuff like that. I pull up that bowl and I said, I think of Jonah with that every bowl of kelp. Kale, rather. And so keep in mind, one of my favorite soups is what? Does anybody know what one of my favorite soups is? If you go to Olive Garden, what is it? Toscana. It's potato soup with kale in it. I didn't realize that till she fixed it. We went and bought a bag of kale, and it's about this big. And she said, oh, good, it's already cut up. Well, his wasn't cut up, wrapped around his head. He's under pressure. He can't breathe. He's struggling to breathe. He's about ready to drown. For 3 days? This guy's one of the most stubborn guys on the face of the earth. So now we're scheduled to go out today to Olive Garden. And if I get Toscana soup, you mark my word, when I see that green kale come up, I'm going to think, Jonah, wow, I can't be like that. Wow. Now, notice it with me if you wouldn't. He says this, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. So there's great pressure. The earth with her bars were about me forever. There's a thought I'll never get out of here. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. So that's the goal I want to encourage everybody here today. Remember the Lord, but your soul's got to faint. In other words, you've got to give up. You got to give up this prejudice, whatever it might be. You got to give it up and say, okay, Lord, I'll forgive that person. Lord, I'll begin to pray for that person. Remember, it says, pray for those who despitefully use you. The real key to forgiveness is that you genuinely pray for God's blessing on them. Now, is that not a challenge? Now, Lord, I'll forgive them. I'll put it aside. But now you want me to pray for their good? Oh, Lord. So you can see there are different levels of Christians. And Jonah was a preacher. And it doesn't matter what your position in life, what is your position with the Lord? Have you run from his presence? Have you forgiven? And are you willing to pray for their goodness? That's the question today for all of us in this room. It's Christmas. Let's forgive. It's Christmas. Let's pray for everybody's souls. It's Christmas. Let's pray for everybody to come back to the Lord. And I want you to notice this. Keep in mind. So keep in mind in verse number 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for letting me out of that whale's belly. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Okay, I'll go preach to them, Lord. I'll go preach to them. Now, I don't think in this prayer that he intended to say, I'll go preach to them, but I don't like it. I think he genuinely said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'll go, or the Lord wouldn't let him out. But now he got out, and as he began to walk through the streets of the Ninevites and saw their debauchery and saw all their filth, for 3 days he changed his mind and said, oh, Lord, don't forgive these people. That's the only way I can think about this book. Because notice, if you would, in verse number 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said unto them he would do unto them, and he did it not. So they had 40 days to repent. They did, and God said, okay, I forgive you. Well, notice in verse 1 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Now, I don't know whether it was, he said, I'll go and preach to them because I know they'll never repent. So he put his confidence that they wouldn't repent, and he said, Lord, I will go and I'll do it. And I'll do it to the best of my ability. And I'll preach the gospel with all my heart, but I know they won't repent. I don't know if it was that, or if he went and said, I'll preach and maybe they'll repent, but I doubt it. And so his lack of faith gave him a measure of comfort that they would still die and go to hell. I don't know what it was. But the second they repented and said, oh, I'm sorry, he was displeased. And notice, he was displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. What person repents and becomes bitterly angry? Nobody. So you have to be sure that the key to it is, now I want to challenge you here. It never says he prayed for their salvation. He preached to them, but he didn't pray for them. To me, that's the key. Pray for those that despitefully use you. That's the key. Can you pray for your worst enemy for God to bless them? If you can, then I believe you've truly forgiven. But if you cannot, then there's still something back there. It never says he prayed for them, and the bitterness all came rushing back when he got out of the problem. I remember I was walking my horse, and I guess I was probably 10, 11, maybe. I was barefoot, no t-shirt, had a pair of shorts on. My horse, I was leading around because it was the family get together July 4th. And so all the family came from all over Oklahoma, and the kids would want to ride my horse. And so I'd go get my horse and bring her down, and we'd stack them up on that horse from the tail all the way to the withers, you know. And so there may be five or six kids, and they're all hanging on to each other, and I'd ride the horse around. Well, it had been raining the day before, and it soaked the ground. And so I took the horse, and I was walking, and I wasn't paying attention. And so I walked her this way, and I turned her. And when I turned her, I left my foot back. I turned her like this, and she stepped on my foot. Keep in mind, I'm barefooted. And so she stepped on my foot, and I got 13,000 kids on the back of her. I can't push her back. I can't do anything. And I'm sitting there, Lord, please help her to get off my foot. I tried to go this way, and she just had that foot in me. I went that way, and she went back that way. And I tried to go this way, and she kept that foot on my foot. And it was like, you know, keep in mind, it had rained or it had crushed my foot. So it just buried my foot into the ground there. And so my foot's down on the ground. She's on my foot. And so I pushed her back a little bit, and I kept pushing her a little bit. I said, Lord, please. And finally she got off my foot. I said, Lord, thank you so much. When the pressure's off, we'll do about anything to get the Lord's attention when the pressure's on. But what do we do when he answers our prayer and the pressure's off? I can tell you this, from then on, I watched Mitzi's feet to where I put the arm out there a little bit further to make sure when I turned her around, I had her arms linked out so she wouldn't get on my foot. And when I turned to make sure I pulled my foot back. Okay, it's a little lesson that you learn, but did Jonah learn his lesson? No, he did not. And the reason being is the prejudice was always there because he couldn't pray for their good. Today, learn to forgive people and pray for their good, and God can bless you. Father, today I thank you for the story of Jonah. Lord, I'm sorry that Jonah was so belligerent to you. Lord, was angry with you, knowing your goodness. I pray you'd help us not to be that way. But Lord, help us to love you and to obey you with all of our hearts because we know you're good. Lord, those people that don't do us right, help us to pray for them genuinely from our heart that you would bless them. In your name we pray. Amen.